heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
This is The National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry, Communications Director for the VFW. And Jerry, as always, never forgetting our dedication.
Hey, we do this show for you. The men and women serving on active duty, the Guard and Reserves, to the millions of veterans out there, and of course, all their families. We love you. We're here for you. God bless you.
You know, there have been some things in the news about some programs generated by the, or in connection with the Army Emergency Relief Fund. Some bad things being said, some wrong things being said. And as always, we, you know, nobody else takes the time to get the other side of the story.
That's right.
But we are going to do it today, and we're going to start out with a colonel.
Absolutely. We have Colonel Kathy Abbott. She is with the Army Public Affairs Office, and we have her on today because, you know, a couple of weeks ago a story came out about an Army charity, and I mean to tell you, they really got slammed.
Right.
And as we do, as everyone should do, we provide opportunity for people to respond to allegations. And given the fact that, you know, we're fans of the United States Army.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, we didn't want to, we just didn't want an AP story or whoever came out, whoever broke with this, to run the story and not give the Army a good opportunity to respond to it. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, and, you know, just to, in case you don't know, we're talking about this AP report that accused the Army Emergency Relief Fund of hoarding cash while soldiers and their families struggle through war zone deployments and financial hardship. And, I mean, it got to be a huge deal in the news.
Yeah, and it wasn't hoarding a little bit of cash.
Right.
The AP charged that between 2003 and 2007, the AER grew, hoarded $117 million.
Wow.
While just spending, they say about $64 million on aid for our servicemen. Colonel, you read the story. Set us straight on that.
Well, I really appreciate this opportunity. I should say that Army Emergency Relief is a private organization. It's really not part of the Army.
Right.
It certainly does service many, many service members and their families. But it was set up way back when during World War II to provide a safety net for soldiers. It's not your typical charity. It provides loans and grants, no interest loans, to service members when there is a need, if something comes up that they can't plan for or an unexpected tragedy within the family. And it's something that they know that a loan will work in most cases, not all, but in most cases for soldiers because they have a dependable income. So they'll work with the families, they'll work with the service members or retirees to determine exactly what the need is and to come up with what is the best plan for that particular person in that particular case.
Now, give us an example, if you will. I am a service member, and something comes up. I come into your office. What's the process there? What type of thing could I go to the AER for help?
All-encompassing, but some of the most common would be a car breaks down, or you're going on a long trip and you need new tires for your vehicle. A child gets sick, and that puts an extra financial strain on the family, although, you know, we do have medical and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes there are things or an extra strain on the family. A family member dies, and you need to go back to where the family is. Any of those types of things. But there's really not a if this, then this type thing. Like I said, they will work with the soldiers. And soldiers can go to their commanders. Commanders can approve, depending upon their level, is at what how much dollar amount they can approve, but a soldier can go to the commander, explain the situation, and the commander can approve an AER loan right on the spot. They can go to the AER officer on the installation, who can also help them. Family members, if a soldier is deployed, a family member can go directly to the AER officer. Retirees can go directly to the to the AER officer. So there's several opportunities and several avenues for soldiers to seek assistance.
Well, the AP story, the way this thing was written, it cast a lot of dispersions on the way the whole thing operated. You mentioned the soldier can go to the commanding officer, and the story, the tone of it made it seem like that was some sort of nefarious motives behind going to a commanding officer.
Important thing that a commander can do is take care of his soldiers and their families. So it's really important that the commander knows if the soldier's having troubles and if there's something that they can help them with. So it's really just another tool for a leader to help with their...
Yeah, absolutely. Now, again, the story, one could get the impression after reading the story that if someone goes to their CO, that, there's going to be a price to pay for doing that.
No, I've never found that to be true. I know a lot of people feel that their financial situation should be private, but again, if a soldier's having trouble, it's going to reflect in other parts of their lives, and really it helps the commanders and it helps the soldiers so that everybody can be successful.
Well, in fact, the commanding officer, if a soldier is having problems, can sometimes help put things in perspective and maybe provide some additional advice or suggestions as to how that soldier can resolve his or her problems, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful tool, and it's very sad that somebody found necessary to slam it without looking at all the different...
Yeah, and again, the tone of the story, I mean, my jaws got pretty tight after I read this.
There were not a lot of stories that mentioned how many soldiers had been helped.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It made it sound as though a lot of soldiers were, in fact, being turned down for assistance.
Right. And indeed, no soldier or family member has ever been denied financial assistance for a valid need. And, they say never do math in public. But in 2008, AER provided $83 million to 72,000 soldiers and their family members.
Wow.
24% of those were in the form of tax-free grants, and 76% were in interest-free loans. And again, as I said, the key on those interest-free loans is the service member and the commander, the AER officers, they work together to find out what is a reasonable repayment plan, excuse me, for that soldier and the situation.
So, and the interest rates, I take it, are not usurious.
There are no interest rates. These are interest-free.
Yeah.
So
that's a pretty good term.
Everything is in a form of a payback situation, though. I mean, it's not like you're given a free handout. I mean, these are things that are paid back, except for the grants. But as far as the loans, I mean, it's all in a repayment situation, right?
Correct. And the soldiers, they just to give you a little bit more, the average assistance in a case is a little over $1,000. Normally, they're paid back within 12 months, but it can be up to 36 months or longer. If a service member is going to ETS or get out of the Army, then normally they'll pay it back before they get out, but they'll even work with them so that they can, take it out further than that if the need be. So it's very flexible. It's based on each individual situation. And for example, for every $1 that AER contributes, $1.85 is provided in assistance.
And how is that possible?
It's because of these monies that they have, their investment capital, and so they use the monies and the dividends that come back from that in order to provide more assets to the families.
So bottom line is that's essentially what the AER is getting slammed for, the fact that you have a reserve fund and investments are being made, but the story really doesn't point out the fact that you're given $1.85 for every $1, that's
right. And I'd also like to say that I would shy away from the reserve. I'm not a financial person, but all those monies, every dollar that AER has is available to soldiers. So if there's a valid need, they will go as far as they need to in order to have the monies available to the soldiers and their family members.
Yeah, that was a bad word to use. It's not like you have a chunk of cash and you're holding on to it. If needed, it's available.
Correct.
Well, and the other thing is, too, Jerry, they talked about how much money you're hoarding here. I mean, soldiers have to apply for this money, correct?
Correct.
So if you've got a surplus of money, it doesn't mean that you're not giving it all out. It just means that maybe all of it has not been applied for at this point, I would imagine.
That's correct. Our soldiers are never, you know, we're never faced with that type of situation. But
right.
The money's there if they need it, and that's important. I think it's important to know. It's nice to know as a service member that that's there. Should I ever
exactly
now? How's the aside from investments? How's the AER funded?
We have the annual AER campaign, so soldiers can contribute and help other soldiers. We don't solicit outside of the military or the Army family, but they do often get contributions from other sources.
All right. How about the I'm stuttering here because I'm getting upset thinking about this. This AP story also made it sound like, the contributions. The soldiers are getting squeezed, in other words. You know, the sergeant major, or first sergeant, whoever, you're kind of cornering them and saying, you will donate.
Right.
What about that?
Strong arm.
Yeah, you
tactics,
will donate right. Or else.
You know, the Army has a culture of taking care of its own, and soldiers want to take care of each other. I mean, that's just part of being in the organization. But AER is a values-based organization, and they don't allow the type of thing that you're talking about. Soldiers are asked to donate. They're provided the opportunity. As I said, there's a campaign every year, and soldiers are asked to contribute, but it's certainly an option for them. If they don't want to, they do not have to. You know, it's just an opportunity.
And I have to say this, Randy, that we work, the BFW works very closely, not only with the Army, but with the entire military. And in fact, when AER can't step in, that we, of course, have our unmet needs program.
Right.
And the military does refer soldiers, sailors, Marines, Air Forcemen to the VFW at times, their family members. So, it's too bad. Here's another example of the media taking bits and pieces and sort of twisting it around and making things look bad. There's a private outfit, Colonel, that kind of monitors charities, and I don't recall the name of it. I should.
Charity Navigator. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, Charity Navigator.
Yeah.
What kind of standing you have with them?
I don't think it's very good. But again, I think we need to really look at it to the point where AER is not your typical charity per se. It's a safety net for soldiers. The funds are available for soldiers, their families, and retirees. And so the expectation is that these people have, you know, our audience or the folks that are eligible have an income, a steady income.
Well, I'm going to disagree with the colonel here.
Yeah, it's very good.
Which I like to do on occasion. You know, the VFW gets the same type of ratings and with these different outfits. I found my notes here. In fact, Charity Navigator gave the AER its third consecutive 4-star rating, which is excellent.
Find that.
Philanthropic, I believe it is, Institute is probably the one that slammed you. It's the same one that doesn't do us any good every year, too, because they don't – each organization is different. They operate different, and they don't understand that. So.
Well, thanks so much for clarifying that. You're right. That was my mistake.
And, in fact, that's an indication that AER consistently executes its mission in a fiscally responsible way and outperforms most other charities in America.
Right.
That says a lot.
Colonel Kathy Abbott is our guest, and we're going to find out more about this. A lot of stuff to talk about today on the National Defense. Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry and our guest, Colonel Kathy Abbott, She's a public affairs officer with the Army, and we're trying to clear some things up. And talked about the unmet needs program, the VFW, and the AER. Everybody's trying to do the right thing, and it's a sad. It's such a sad case when you're on a daily basis, you're trying to do the right thing, and you get this, you know, these knuckleheads in the media that come after you for really no good reason, and play up some kind of a trumped deal like this. So it's just, we see it every week, but it's just too bad that they got to take shots at something like that.
Well, and AP, in fact, headlined one of their stories, vet advocates riled over Army charity.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm looking at...
They're so riled.
And I'm looking at some of these vets organizations. Well, you don't see the... VFW there. You don't see the American Legion.
Yeah.
You don't see the top veterans organizations being riled over this because we take time to check out the facts. When something like this comes up, we go to the Army and we say, what is the deal?
Yeah, and I really appreciate that. I can't tell you how much. And there's something that I probably should have added when you asked about how can people get the relief. If there is a soldier that is somewhere where they can't get to an AER officer, they can go to the other service aides association. So they can go to the Marines, the Marine or a Navy base or an Air Force base, or they could also go to the American Red Cross, and they will process their claim and send it back to AER for them. So if it's, AER is not readily available to them, the aid still is.
Well, and in 2008, AER provided $83 million to 72,000 soldiers and families. I'm sure you didn't see that in the story either.
Well, and you look at the, we do our homework here too, Colonel. Going back to 2003, soldiers receiving assistance, 44,000. 2005, 47,000. The number's gone up each year. 2006, 57,000, and again, 2008, 72,000. So,
it doesn't seem like you got a lot of money to hoard there if you're giving that kind of money out. So, hey, Colonel Abbott, thank you so much for being on and clarifying that for us. Colonel Kathy Abbott, and, it's just, again, it's nice to get the other side of that because you're not going to, I don't know how many other outlets have asked you to speak out in the media, but I can't imagine it would be very, very many.
Well, we certainly appreciate the opportunity because it is such an important tool for our soldiers and their commanders, and they do such great things. We can't say enough about them.
Well, thank you so much, and hey, we'll keep looking out for you, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You know, Jerry, and she was talking about how you can get that relief from the Emergency Relief Fund from the Army, and, you know, you talked about the unmet needs program that the VFW offers, and it sounded like the same kinds of situations that you're faced with, you know, the car repairs or the house payments or whatever. How do people get that kind of relief now from the unmet needs program? What do you do?
Well, it's very easy. Like I mentioned, oftentimes the military refers them to
right.
us. There's an application process, and it's not it's not reams and reams of paperwork, although
no,
it is.
A lot of the times, I mean, it's been done in a week or so.
Right. Although we do, we have to be careful.
Sure.
Because, unfortunately, there will be people
yep.
to try and take advantage of things. So it's comprehensive, but it's not a real long application. We do a couple of checks, and like you said, oftentimes we deal directly with the vendor per se, or the auto repair shop
right.
or
yeah.
whoever, and a lot of times we can pick up the phone and say, call them and say, hey, can you start work on this automobile, or can you start work on the roof or whatever, because we're going to be cutting you a check here.
And then the families get the call that, hey, it's covered.
Yeah,
it's done.
Right.
And that kind of relief that comes with that, not just for the family member, but for the service member as well. And, man, you know, it was so nice to be able to talk to some of those families and get those stories. But that's what that does. And if you go to VFW.org, you can find out some of those, all the MAP programs and the unmet needs programs that will take care of
them. All of them. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. We're going to be right back here on the National Defense. Thanks for listening.
I like to dream. If you're active duty or veteran, chances are you have unmet needs. That's why the Unmet Needs Program was established by the VFW and stands by now, ready to help.
I contacted them and I let them know basically what was going on, and they paid for the repairs of my vehicle.
With the help of Vermont American Tool Accessories, the VFW has provided $1.6 million to support 1,150 service members and their families.
But if it wasn't for the unmet needs, we'd be in the streets right now.
Donate online at unmetneeds.com.